الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: رب هب لي حكما وألحقني بالصالحين واجعل لي لسان صدق في الآخرين واجعلني من ورثة جنة النعيم واغفر لأبي إنه كان من الضالين ولا تخزني يوم يبعثون يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, this is a dua that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam had made. Allah Ta'ala grant me wisdom and join me up with the righteous. When you make dua for wisdom, then you are also asking for knowledge. Because hikmat and wisdom means that you do the right thing in the right way at the right time. And to be able to do the right thing in the right way in the right time, you need to have the knowledge. If you don't have that knowledge, can you be able to do the right thing at the right time at the right situation? Is it possible? So indirectly you are asking for knowledge, then the knowledge to be applied rightly. Sometimes you may have the knowledge, but you may not have the understanding how to apply. And sometimes you may have the knowledge and you may have the understanding how to apply, but you're not applying it. So wisdom will entail all three: knowledge, right understanding, right application, right time. So what a comprehensive dua. Grant me wisdom and join me up with the righteous. Anbiya alayhi salam's words were perfect. You can't think of a level of perfection above the Anbiya alayhi salam. So that's the most perfect thing to emulate, most perfect example to follow. It's Anbiya alayhi salam. So he makes dua that join me up, link me up with the righteous. Teaching us humility, that as though I'm saying that I'm not pious, but Allah Ta'ala join me up, link me up. Rabbi habli hukma wa alhikni bis salihin. And the other way is Allah Ta'ala count me as a pious person. And here is link me up. So I'm not pious, but through your grace and through your favor, link me up to the righteous. Now this is Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he is the Abul Anbiya, the father of Anbiya alayhi salam. Can you understand the magnitude of his dua? وَجْعَلِّي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. The second dua that he's making, and Allah Ta'ala Let me be remembered well in the generations to come. Let me be remembered well in the generations to come. So someone may think that this is boastfulness, this is pride and arrogance. So this doesn't amount to pride and arrogance. Imam Ghazali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says that when you are asking to be remembered well in the generations to come, what you are asking, you are asking Allah Ta'ala that grant me good ways. When my ways will be good, then people will talk about it. When they will talk about it, then they will follow it. And when they will follow, then I will reap the sawab. So really when you are asking for a good name in the generation to come, you are asking for your sawabs to continue. And therefore he says that this is permissible provided these three conditions are maintained. One is, when you ask for a good name in the generations to come, then the intention is not to boast and impress upon others. One is, I begin to boast, see me, and see my level and see that person's level. So whether I am discussing it with others or whether mentally I am playing that in my mind, that I am better than that person here because of this reason. And that person is not at my level. So you're not boasting, the first condition. The second condition is that provided you don't despise the next person. You want a good name, but in the process you're not despising someone. You're not thinking low of the next person. And third condition that covers the whole thing is provided as well that there is no compromise in earning a good name. Sometimes I want to compromise, see that everybody's all right, everybody's good, but what's my intention? Intention is to have a good name, a name above others. So in the process of looking for a good name, we don't compromise any aspect of deen. Now, we are sitting here and we are discussing well in a atmosphere of peace, of muhabbat and understanding. Now say for example someone comes and videos. So now we don't want to have a bad name. So to avoid a bad name, we don't tell the person anything. So now that's not right. Why? Because we're compromising. So to earn the good name, you're compromising on a principle of deen. So that's not right. So provided these three conditions are maintained, to ask for this is not a sin. وَجْعَلْ لِي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ وَجْعَلْنِي مِنْ وَرَثَةِ جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ The fourth dua, Allah Ta'ala also make me from the heirs of Jannat. Now, and Nabi, when he's asking and he's pleading, really it's a lesson for us. They already confirmed they are the most innocent creation of Allah Ta'ala, absolutely sinless. But then they are begging and pleading for Jannat. That's a lesson for us. It's something for us to think about. وَجْعَلْنِي مِنْ وَرَثَةِ جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ وَغْفِرْ لِي أَبِي إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الضَّالِّينَ. In our du'as, we don't forget our parents, our elders. It's not that we are self-centered. We're not selfish and self-centered. The ones that we got good from, whether it was material, whether it was deen, whether it was physical, whichever good we have got from any person, then we include them in our du'a. For Allah Pak likes this, that you got something good from someone, then show the appreciation. Sometimes in kind, and if you can't do it in kind, then in du'as, but show the appreciation in some way or the other. وَلَا تُخْزِينِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. And then he says, Allah Ta'ala, don't disgrace me on the day of Qiyamah. See how great he is. See how great he is, but see the du'a that he's making. Really it's a lesson, it's touching, very touching. Don't disgrace me, Allah Ta'ala, on the day of Qiyamah. Because we think, reading namaz and all that, so what wrong have I done? That's the response, that's the reaction. What wrong have I done to be disgraced? No, we don't realize that sometimes there is something very discreet in our intentions, something with the eye, something with the ears, something with the tongue, something with the heart. We don't realize, and we have the courage to say, what wrong have I done? So that's not the attitude that a Muslim will show. وَلَا تُخْزِينِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. The day children and wealth will be of no avail. We all have that love, the crave for two things. For what? One is wealth. And number two is for a little bit of recognition and publicity. It's come over the radio, people talk about me, publicity, give me long, long titles, right? So that's a crave that every man has. But these two things that we run after, really, it's of no avail. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. As the man touches the grave, then nor the children of any avail, nor the name. Name is also of no avail, and the wealth is also of no avail whatsoever. So then, what is of essence on the day of Qiyamah, or as we transcend into the next realm, we move on to the next realm, so what is of any avail? So, the thing that is of any avail and of any benefit, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Person that comes to Allah Ta'ala with a sound heart. Salim, opposite of Mariz. Also, one of the explanations is the opposite of Mariz. In other words, he's coming to Allah Ta'ala with a healthy heart, not a sick heart. A disbeliever, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. The disbeliever, his heart is sick. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. There is a disease in the heart. And the disease is of kufr, of disbelief, of wrong, right? So the Muslim's heart is absolutely healthy and good. So the thing that is of avail on the day of Qiyamah is the clean heart, that healthy heart, not the sick heart. Now, what makes the heart sick? Because that's the criteria Allah Pak is showing, that if anything has any value on the day of Qiyamah, then it is that healthy heart. So, if the heart is healthy, your wealth also will be of benefit on the day of Qiyamah. Your children also will be of benefit to you on the day of Qiyamah. But the criteria is that the heart must be good. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. So, if the heart is not good, then you're going to have problems. So, therefore, the Quran emphasizes, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Without this good heart, then all what you have done is of no avail. So rectify, correct the heart, improve the heart. You got that right, then everything is working for you. Then that children also will be of benefit to you. وَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُو لَهُ. Like the hadith says, that pious child that will make dua for his father after he's died. وَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ. A pious child that you left behind. That means you took the effort and you took the pain to direct the child. Your work was not just to make a child for the fun of it, for the entertainment of it, for the amusement of the eyes. No, it wasn't for that. It was to give the child a direction. It was to give the child some direction in life that he may reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if that was the whole concern, then throughout your life you work towards it. Now that child is of benefit to you. Similarly, that wealth that was earned for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, I will use it in the ways, in the avenues that Allah Ta'ala will be pleased. So I'll earn it in the right way, and I will spend it in the right way. Now that same wealth is of benefit to the person in this life and in the coming life. So now, the criteria that Allah Ta'ala speaks about here is إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. A sound heart, a healthy heart. So now the question is now, what makes the heart healthy? We talk so much, right? But now, what is the essence? A good heart, a sound heart, a healthy heart. When we talk to people, so now my heart is clean. My heart is clean. Very quickly, you can just come, jump to a conclusion, and you can make the decision for yourself, my heart is clean. But is your heart really clean? You know, my heart is very healthy, very good. Why? Did you go and see Dr. Vanker? Do you see Dr. Farooq Hassan? It's the doctor that's an expert in this thing here. He says your heart is good, alright, you got something to talk about. But on your own, can you make a decision? Can you make a judgment? You can't. You know what it is all about. What's the arteries like and what it's supposed to be like, etc., etc. That's not your business. Someone knows about it. So the same here, that heart, for that heart to be healthy, what's the requirement? Now, when the heart is not right, what happens? First, we'll come to this. When the heart is not right, then what happens? The thing that happens is, zok nahi rehta. The taste is lost. The taste is lost. Now, the taste, what do you mean by taste? Because when we talk of taste, we talk of something that is tangible, something that's got a flavor, right? That's what we talk about, taste. Something that doesn't have a taste, we're not talking about that. This wall got no taste, right? You lick that thing, no taste. But something that's got a taste. So Allah Pak is talking about something that you need to get the taste, right? You don't have the taste. Now, what is meant by getting the taste, right? Now, let's explain this in a little bit of detail, right? Now, in all this virus stories and all that, right, whether it's right or not right, who died and who didn't die, whether it's true or not true, Allah Pak knows. We're getting to that controversial subject. Someone are dying or not dying, someone is living or dying, or dying with that vaccine, Allah Pak knows. So we're not getting to that story, right? Whether someone got paralyzed, someone became blind, whatever, but that's not our subject today. Our subject is now, what is this taste all about? And how do you go about acquiring the taste? Now, we may have heard someone has got a flu or he's got a virus, whatever, then he's lost the taste. When he's lost the taste, and it's about 10 days past, 12 days, then he's getting worried, the household is getting worried, hey, I don't have the taste, 12 days past, man, I don't get the taste. Eating, drinking coffee, tea and all that, cold drink, no taste. Is it a matter of concern or not? Then you want to take him to a specialist. If it is dragging for, say, 2 months, then you want to go to a specialist, a doctor, hey, do something to this person, man, no taste. So that becomes such an important subject, I don't have the taste. Does it or not? Does it happen or not? It happens to everybody. Now, here, it is a fact that many of us have lost the taste. For what? Like the hadith saying, Zaqa ta'am al iman. Man has tasted the taste of iman. He's got the taste of iman, got the flavor of iman. So this taste is not just a spiritual thing, it's a physical thing. Not just a spiritual thing, it's a physical thing. So what the hadith says, you will taste the flavor of iman. So now, when we lost the taste, the sensation, we had a lot of fikr, concern, ran here, that one, this one here, go for a test, I must do something to recover the taste. But now the question is, we lost the taste for the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, do we have the concern? For the physical taste, when we lost it, there was so much of hype, so much of worry, fikr, etc. But this taste of iman, taste of righteousness, taste of virtue, then many of us don't have it. When we don't have it, then do we have the concern? Alright, now when we lose the taste, then what happens? When we lose the taste, then that namaz is just a routine. That zikr is just a routine. The Quran Sharif recitation is just a routine. And when we acquire the taste, then we don't want to leave it. Then anything can happen. You're so consumed in the taste. Rasulullah Pak Sassam asked two Sahaba Ikram, go look after that post. So one says, I'll look after, the other one says, I'll rest. Now the one that is looking after, he said, rather than spending my night uselessly, let me get into ibadat. He started his namaz. As he started his namaz, one enemy released an arrow. He continued with his namaz. First arrow, second arrow, and by the third arrow, that person that was sleeping, he got up and he saw a whole pool of blood and all that. But why didn't you get me up? He said, I was reciting it. I was enjoying it so much that I was just oblivious of everything. I was not concerned about the arrows. But I got the taste of that namaz, the taste of the Quran Sharif recitation. Then everything else was irrelevant. See, that's the taste. When you got the taste and everything else is irrelevant. Like Allah make us maaf, right? A lot of children you hear about. And adults as well. They're looking at a porn, right? And they're so consumed in that, that they're oblivious of the environment. Does it happen or not? Have you heard of it or not, right? Sometimes they're so consumed with that, the enjoyment, they get so much enjoyment, that 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, it is carrying on looking or listening to it. But they're so consumed. Now the same, this child or this person has got the taste for that. He's acquired the taste for that. And this person, who's got the sahabi, he's acquired the taste for the Quran, for namaz, for righteousness, for virtue. Do you see the diversity? You got the taste. He's got a taste as well. He's got a taste. See his taste where it took him, and see this taste when it went corrupt, what it did to the person. So this taste, you see, that's what we're talking about, the taste, acquire, recover the taste. There was one saintly person, and we talked of taste, you know, the enjoyment that you get in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, the discomfort in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, that's lost. I won't say in all, but many people have lost it, right? So this Buzurg is going for Hajj. Shah Qalandar Sahib Jalalabati Rahmatullah Alayh. He's a Sheikh, he's a, one of the Ustads of the Sheikh of Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Muhajir Makki. So, he's on his way to Hajj, and he's got that level of taste that he would see Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam every day of his life. Every day of his life, and he would see Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no doubt about it, no two ways. Now, en route to Medina Munawwara, so there was a camel driver, youngster, so this Qalandar Shah, he got upset with the camel driver for whatever reason, and gave one shot. He had to do this, and what he used to be enjoying, lost. Now he's trying, making dua, istighfar, tawbah. See, jisne chakha nahi, wo kya janega? The person that didn't taste it, what does he understand what he lost? The one that tasted it and lost it, he knows what he lost. But the one that didn't taste it at all, what he knows? He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know phone, music, listening or looking at something. That's the pleasure that he gets. He doesn't know what's the pleasure in this. Does he have the pleasure? No pleasure. Because he doesn't relate to the taste. For him, it's like, you know, namaz or something, is like licking that wall. Any taste you'll get. No enjoyment, absolutely no enjoyment. Right? And this person actually finds a pleasure, a satisfaction, a fulfillment he finds. So when he finds that fulfillment, and if that thing is lost, then he will go helter-skelter, he wants to recover that. A simple illustration, simple example, you got a very beautiful relationship with the wife, extremely beautiful, you know, lovey-dovey and all that, whatever is happening, right? But extremely good relationship. But just for one day, she's turned her face around and she's not talking to you. Is that manageable? There's such a great affection, muhabbat, and you got so much of affection for each other. And one day, she left the food on the table, have your meals, and she is not talking, not showing your face. Sleeping time came, she turned the other way around, not even talking to you, not showing your face, absolutely nothing. I ask you, is that manageable? You acquired the taste. When you acquired the taste, one day of her turning around, you couldn't endure. No, Allah Ta'ala has turned away from you for some reason. Can you endure that? We are doing that wrong, and we don't think anything about it, we don't bat an eye. Why we don't bat an eye? Because we don't have the taste. So when we don't have the taste, we're just going through the motions, just going through the routine. So we can't understand that do we have the taste or have we lost the taste? Now this person, he had the taste. He's seeing Rasulullah Paksam every day. When he's seeing Rasulullah Paksam every day, and he's missed this thing here, now he understands what he's missing. So he's crying, going to this person, going to that person, asking Allah Ta'ala, give me some sadaqah, but nothing is working. Everything is just failing. In the meanwhile, someone told him, you know, go by the Rosa Mubarak, there's a black woman there. And she won't have very good clothing. She's covered herself well, but no fancy clothing she's got. Just go and tell her. That's all. So as he approached her, he didn't even relate the problem, and this black woman told him, Shuf, hadha an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She showed Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam to him in life. You understand? Now, this woman, we don't think much of her because of the race or because of the color. But can you understand how great she must have been? She's so great that she's not only seeing Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but she's got that ability to show you Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you can imagine. So we don't discriminate because of color, etc. But Allah Ta'ala, that doesn't mean anything. Beyond the skin, you're all the same. Look in the grave, all the same. Just for this temporary, transitory life, we attach so much of importance, race, color, etc., etc. But beyond the life, beyond the scope of this life here, absolutely, that doesn't mean anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're coming to this taste, and how the taste is lost, and how the taste is acquired. One is you lost the taste, and now one is you acquire the taste. How it's lost and how it's acquired. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam would perform tahajjud namaz, and the tahajjud namaz used to be so lengthy that yatawarram, the feet used to swell up. He's crying profusely. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha is asking, Ya Rasulallah, but Allah Ta'ala forgave all your مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ, all your sins, all are wiped out. So why do you cry so much? He says, then, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا, mustn't I be a thankful servant? If it is that Allah has given me a clean slate, alright, and I understand that, but what does that require? That I need to show even more gratitude and more appreciation to the rest of people. That Allah has given me a clean slate, how thankful, how appreciative. So the whole night, and he's just crying away, one way. The beard is wet. The whole night, sajda is crying. Sitting up is crying. Now that is for the person who's got the taste. He's got the taste, and then the whole world doesn't mean anything to him. Now when the taste goes off, now what happens? We're talking about taste, what happens? With the taste going off, the understanding goes off. You can't reason. Your understanding also goes off. And therefore you'll have so many differences of opinion. He's saying this, he's saying something else, someone something else. So many differences of opinion. And everybody will express and impress that what I'm saying is right. In some way or else, he'll try and justify. And it'll be difficult for you to disprove him. He'll impress in such a way that it's going to be difficult for you to disprove the person. Let me just show you an example, right? One child, in India, the systems are different, right? When you're in the madrasa, then there isn't a mess that you sit in. Rather, you bring your tiffin or your pot, and they'll fill you up, do roti or do boti, right? Two pieces of roti they give you, two naans, and some meat and gravy they give you. That's your meal. That's your ration. So, this is a meal for the day. So every student is given this meal. Now, this student takes the meal, and there is a young ustad. So, if one is an old ustad, then people normally show respect. Well, the ustad, the teacher is just coming in now, first year of teaching, second year of teaching, then the children normally take a little bit of advantage. Right? The adab for food is that we cover the food. We don't take it open, right? Like you're eating a donut or something like that, you don't eat it in the open. Why? Because perhaps the next person can't afford it. And when he sees it, then he also craves for it. And then he finds the uneasiness that I can't afford this, therefore I can't enjoy this today. So therefore, if you can't share it with him, then don't eat it before him. So you don't inconvenience the person. Imam Ghazali shows this adab, that you bring some fruit to him, right? So the right thing is share it with your neighbor and the people that are around. But for some reason you can't share it, then conceal it. Because you're going to keep it in the open. He's going to see that fruit, he can't afford it, he'll feel some type of discomfort within his mind. So don't do it. I don't know about this place here, but in Spingo, you know, because we are near the beach, so you get winds coming, right? So I tell the people that, by you're making a bra, enjoy it, but please, two things, don't do it after Isha, because the bra will end up at 1 o'clock in the morning, Fajr namaz will be compromised. So do it before Isha, it's all right. And the second thing, please do it a little bit in an enclosed area. Because there will be a lot of poor people that will be walking around. And they get the smell of that meat or the steak, etc. I ask you, won't they crave for it? Won't they feel for it? They'll also feel for it. You don't have the heart to shave everybody. So do it a little bit in a concealed area. That person will not crave for it. You don't cause any discomfort to him. So anyway, the adab for food is that you conceal the food and then you take it home. You don't take it open. So this young student, he's taking the rotis, but open, and the gravy, and he's going to his room to enjoy the meal. So the new ustad that comes in, the new ustad is teaching him by ye adab ke khilaf. This is not in keeping with adab. See, the adab we consider it as a small thing. What's that? What's adab? You don't realize now. You see this Shah Qalandar, he lost that for a little bit of the adab, he lost it. A man that what we identify with is money, right? Someone's shop got burnt or looted. Hey, what a loss he incurred. Hey, what a loss. But he lost something spiritual. All right, you can cover it up. Allah Pak is Ghafoor Rahim. That's the attitude, right? So the importance that is for namaz, we will not show it. Jamaat, we will not show it. Yes, some material loss, we'll talk about it, make ta'weez, cry, talk, plead to Allah Ta'ala, plead to people, creditors, debtors, etc. So we will feel very agitated. We got the taste for that money. This we haven't got the taste. So therefore we show an indifferent attitude. Now the need is to show to create the taste again. So this young ustad, he's correcting the student by ye adab ke khilaf hai. This is not in keeping with adab. Roti ko band karke le jana chahe, close the thing and then take it home. So now the young ustad, young student, he's reprimanding the ustad, but he says, sharam nahi, dusri ki rotiyo ko tangte hai, but no shame, you look at other people's food, you pee me up. Now, do you see? He's got a reason also, what he's saying, he's got some grounds for that. What the teacher is saying is also he got some grounds. But now, if everybody thinks that I'm an expert, and nobody can correct me, I'll ask you, will there be any room for correction? There'll be no room for correction. So that's why you get this difference of opinion. And when there is a qalb salim, when the heart is sound, the heart is pure, the heart is healthy, then you can make out the mistake straight away. Then you won't make stories. We make the stories because the heart is not healthy. We feel that the heart is healthy because physically we are healthy. But the spiritual rot and the spiritual sickness can't be detected. So we don't feel that we got an unhealthy heart. Now those that had that healthy heart, they understand it straight away. Hazrat Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu. So he's in battle, he's locked up in battle, and there is a delay in him just marching over the opposition. So when there's a delay in marching over the opposition, so he says, ye to meri gunah ke nuhusat hai. This is my wrong. The reason for the delay in the victory is because of my weakness. This is because what happened? When we are locked in battle here, when I saw the army, said, what is this people? You know, armies more than this, greater than this, more formidable armies than this one here. We just mowed them down. So what is this? That's all came out from his tongue. What is this? Because more stronger, more powerful, more mighty armies, we just mowed them down. So what is this? We will, two twos will finish them up. Now 1 month passed and they not saying hello. So he says, it was my mistake. I made the statement. And then he says, wal bala'u muwakkalum bil mantik. See, this musibat, calamities come as a result of the misuse of the tongue. Just that. Now you may still think, now what was the misuse of the tongue? When he said that, what was the wrong? That's what we think, that what was the wrong in that? The wrong in that was, in the first battle, the sight and the nazar was on Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala makes it happen. إِيَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. The sight was focused on Allah Ta'ala. that he makes it happen. Now, in the second encounter, the sight was not on Allah Ta'ala, the sight was on my expertise, my acumen, how good I am. So it moved away from Allah Ta'ala to yourself. But the hadith says, لا تتمنوا لقاء العدو. Don't aspire to encounter the army. Don't aspire for an encounter. Now, what is the reason why the hadith says that لا تتمنوا لقاء العدو. Don't aspire, don't look forward to an encounter. When we are hearing about Afghanistan and jihad and all that, and everybody aspires, hey, let's go in, see what's going on there, we'll have a chance also, maybe we become shaheed or something. But the hadith is saying, what the hadith is saying? لا تتمنوا لقاء العدو. Don't aspire for that. Now, what's the reason? So, the commentators, they give two reasons. That you don't aspire for this for two reasons. One reason is, that if you want to aspire, as though you're saying, Allah Ta'ala, I'll take them on. Your nazar, your sight has fallen on yourself. Whereas a Muslim wins because of his trust and confidence in Allah Ta'ala, not in himself. See, the whole world is saying now, self-esteem, you must be confident of yourself. And what we are saying, by trusting Allah Ta'ala, assign the effort to Allah Ta'ala. The reason for the despondency, depression, etc. is that we trust ourselves. Rather than trusting Allah Ta'ala, confidence in Allah Ta'ala, we're trusting ourselves. We're trusting people. We are having hopes in people, expectations in people. One is trust, one is expectation. Trust is a different thing, and expectation is a different thing. So we've got expectations in people. And when that doesn't materialize, then that whole, a whole personality just collapses. The whole morale just collapses. Why? We had that expectation that he will do this, and he will do this. And when that expectation collapsed, then our morale also collapses. And what Allah Pak says, what Allah Pak's Nabi Sallam is saying, لا تتمنوا لقاء العدو. Don't you ever have confidence and hopes in yourself. Because one is, your sight is supposed to be Allah Ta'ala. يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If you want to be overcoming the army because of Allah Ta'ala, وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ, if Allah Ta'ala forsakes you, who can help you out of that? وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ. So your sight is supposed to be on Allah Ta'ala, not on yourself and not on your expertise, your instruments and whatever you have got, not for that. Just tell you one story just to illustrate this point, see. One person, there's no jobs available, right? When there's no jobs available, so he's looking higher, low for job. Eventually he found a job in Delhi somewhere as a cook. Alright, let me take it now. Something is better than nothing. Alright, how much are you going to get? 200 rupees. Old days, 200 rupees, alright. We're just breaking even. A little bit of difficulty. So he's calculating in his mind, alright, I got a job as a cook, so then I'll have to be at the beck and the call of the master, so the accommodation is available. I'll get the accommodation, and whatever food is left, I will do with that. You know, I can live off with that. This 200 rupees, I'll send it home. My wife and my children, they can enjoy. So now he prepared the meal. Now the first week of the meal, so he has to see that he's doing it well, so the boss also can look at him favorably. So the style in India is, the cook himself will dish out the food. The boss is sitting there, and the cook himself dishes the food out. So as he's dishing the food, so the boss says, all right, some more. So all right, the walls of the pot, I'll enjoy that at least, something to eat to keep me going. Now the boss says, all right, Zara, the pot, the food, they call it Jannat, right? So me Jannat me Zara, jaru mardu. Just bring the pot here, I will just sweep the Jannat, you know. Just sweep it. No, I'm sorry. So Zara, me Kaaba Sharif me jaru mardu. He likened the pot to the Kaaba Sharif. So let me just sweep the Kaaba Sharif. The boss says, hey, now no hopes now. Whatever my hopes were, all were dashed. So in that frustration, he picked up the pot and gave it to the boss. He says, Zara, Hajar Aswad ka bhi bosa le lo. You may kiss the Hajar Aswad as well. You see this, the problem where they come, they start from, where we got expectation, or hopes in people. So that expectations, when they all collapse, they think, hey, now I had all my expectations, my hopes in this thing here, and this thing didn't work out. Then you get into a depression. So, therefore the hadith says, لَا تَتَمَنَّوْ لِقَالَةً. You don't be depressed. So what's the way? Your sight and your hopes must be in Allah Ta'ala. He'll make it happen. The day He wants to make it happen, and how He wants to make it happen, it will happen. But you've turned your hopes from Allah Ta'ala to yourself. I'm intelligent, I can make it happen, I'm wealthy, I can do it. And the day Allah Ta'ala makes it, that thing is working, then you realize your real worth. Allah Ta'ala wills it, it happens. So your sight is in Allah Ta'ala. So that's one reason. The second reason why the hadith says, لَا تَتَمَنَّوْ لِقَالَةُ. Don't long, don't aspire for an encounter. Because now you may be in a position of strength. At the actual time of the encounter, do you know how you will behave then? Now you can say, no, I'm strong, big guns and all that, right? But really at the time of an encounter, do you know how you will be at that time? You don't know, you can't guarantee how you will be at that time. So your hopes, your expectation must be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're talking about this Shah Qalandar Sahib, right? And now he can't see. Rasul Pak, this woman comes in and says, see. One shot, and she made it happen. So many a times, this weaknesses that we have got, right? The weakness becomes an obstruction. It corrupts the taste. When it corrupts the taste, we don't even realize that the taste has been lost. And when the taste is lost, then we're doing one wrong, and the second wrong, and the third wrong, and still mentally we still feel comfortable, easy. We don't feel uneasy. Therefore the hadith says, see the taste we're talking of, right? I think my time is over now. Hadith says that An-Nazru Sahmum Masmumun Min Sihami Iblis. The sight, right, is the poisonous arrow of Iblis. I'll just discuss this hadith and then end this subject today. The sight is the poisonous arrow of Iblis. Right? مَنْ غَدَّ بَصَرَهُ مَخَافَتِي. One that lowers his sight because of my fear. Lowers means now, with an accidental glance, you looked straight away, you closed your eyes. And that is maaf. Someone misconstrues it, he says, no, the first glance is maaf. Not the first glance, the accidental glance, that is maaf. Because now when you translate it as the first glance, that means you will keep on staring at that girl, first glance, all maafed. Allah Pak knows. You think Allah Pak doesn't know what's going on? He knows what's inside. Allah Pak knows. You see that sickness. That sickness makes you misconstrue things. So you're looking, that's not the first glance, still first glance. I didn't close my eyes, first glance. So the thing that is maafed is the accidental glance. And you close your eyes straight away, makhafati, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Abdaltuhu imanan yajidu halawatahu fil qalb. I'll give the person such an iman that he himself will feel the sweetness in his heart. See, from your taste. But that is if you had conformed, trusting the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if I'm going to close my eyes, Allah is definitely going to reward me. Taste, see. I'll just end this up with one small story. I mentioned this to one Molana friend of mine. So he had to take his mother to Augustine Hospital about 3 months ago. He's waiting at the reception and his mother is being checked, right? So he says, you know, I was there at the reception, an accidental glance, such a beautiful girl, white girl, semi-naked, you know, the complexion, the size, the build, everything was like that. This is a hoor just came, you know, like that. But straight away I thought of it, okay, what I supposed to be doing is just close my eyes straight away. So I found it very difficult, but I said, no, Mufti Sahib said, just close your eyes straight away. So I closed my eyes. Straight away, I didn't give it a second, but I know the difficulty that I went through, I know what it was. Because it's something like you never see, you know, and just accidental. So, but I closed my eyes. I had to bite my teeth and close my eyes. And then I thought to myself, Allah Pak is going to reward me for this. Because Allah Ta'ala says himself, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ مِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. Allah Pak is most grateful. He appreciates in this time of fitna, and you're going to hold firm, Allah Pak will appreciate. So Allah Pak is going to appreciate this work of mine that I just closed my eyes, just jammed myself. I didn't give it a second glance. The next morning at Tahajjud, he's sitting in the company of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Such a beautiful scene. He doesn't want that to end. He just doesn't want it to end. It's so beautiful. Rasulullah is giving some advice. And then he's being told to him, you see, yesterday you had shut your eyes for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. In respect of the words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you shut your eyes. Now this is the reward. See that? Our Allah Ta'ala is most appreciative. But do we have the respect for Him? Do we have the trust in Him? Do we have that level of confidence in Him? You have that confidence, you will see it. So this whole talk today was, acquire the taste. Get the taste right. And the taste comes right when we leave out anything that amounts to the disobedience. Then we won't say, ye to chota hai guna hai, ye to saghira hai, small guna hai, nothing to worry about. But, you know, some years ago, over 20 years ago, there's a massive fire on the north coast, you know. I think carried on for a couple of good weeks. They couldn't put it off. But they examined that thing, how it started off. They found out that someone was smoking a cigarette. It was autumn, you know, everything was dried out. And he just threw the cigarette. I think just one after the other. Miles upon miles. So, see that one small guna, what it can do sometimes, what disaster it can come to. So don't consider that small to be small. The corruption that it can bring about, the disaster it can bring about. So the easy way is, before sleeping at night, we round up. Allah, any wrong I've done, make me maaf. So if you died by the morning, you died with a clean slate. Allah, make me maaf. Any wrong, I know I committed a lot of wrong, make me maaf. And the second thing, to get the iman right, Allah, I'm happy with you being my Rabb. You my Rabb, you my cherish and nourish. You brought me on, I'm happy. For all that you have done, I'm very happy. I'm expressing my appreciation. Rasulullah Pasam being my Nabi, I am pleased with that. I'm embracing that. And Islam being my deen, that also I'm embracing it with happiness. So I got no hesitation, no reservation. So your iman is fresh. You got a clean slate. And you end up making shukr to Allah. I'm very thankful for all the blessings that you had bestowed me for this day. Now if you get up the next morning, I'll guarantee you, if you're going like this, you know, just 5 minutes or 6 minutes, you'll get up very happy, in good spirits, and you'll get up happy. You made istighfar, you cleaned up your slate all right, and you declared your faith to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you